Every farmer is warning us from every field on God's green earth. A reckoning is imminent. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are galloping on the horizon.
Last year in the United States, we lost over 500,000 farms. We lost over 125 million acres of farmland. There's never been a time that the local rancher or producer needs your help. Buy American and buy local.
Microsoft founder Bill Gates is the largest private owner of American farmland. Gates alone holds over 275,000 acres across 19 states.
Our government allowed two giant companies controlled by foreign governments to come in and acquire. One of them is controlled by the Chinese, and they bought Smithfield out of North Carolina. And the other one was a Brazilian company that came in and bought up one of the other major players. Why would we want to have an antagonist own 25% of our meat processing? It makes no sense at all.
Convoys of hundreds of tractors and trucks have slowed or blocked the traffic on major roads leading to major cities in the last 3 weeks. And many of the protesting farmers in France have also stopped after the government there offered a series of financial concessions. And they've also blocked numerous border crossings with the Netherlands. In Portugal, farmers have partly blocked a key bridge on a main road into Lisbon.
In the Netherlands, it was about fertilizer. In Germany, it's about the so-called diesel privilege. In France, it's about restrictions on the use of pesticides.
The CIA media and its satellite propagandists are covering up a global revolution that is far worse than any war. Engineered global starvation in order to rein in the GMO agricultural control of the United Nations Agenda 2030 and the Great Reset.
Climate transition is a key priority for our societies. We need to make sure that our farmers can be a partner in this.
With our new climate and nature plan, we focus on the following three things. First, the green transition. Second, the growing physical impact of climate change. And third, the risks from nature loss and degradation.
Our peaceful and united Europe is being challenged like never before by populists, by nationalists.
We hear the propaganda that increases of the gas of life, a trace gas in the atmosphere, will bring a disaster, and that we will have runaway global warming. Sorry, folks, we've known for 200 years from chemistry that it's the exact inverse.
In America, Soros pawns are now making it a priority to wage lawfare on the average farmer, while a backdoor elimination of fertilizer, livestock, and farms by any means necessary is well underway.
In order to get net zero, we'd have to kill all the animals, including ourselves. Food and energy. Nothing else is as important as those two things. Water. Right? It's part of food. They haven't decided to cut the water off just yet.
You know, climate change is a bit abstract. Some people understand it really well. Some understand it a bit. Some just don't understand it. Water. Every kid knows how important it is to have water. When you're playing football and you're thirsty, you need water.
4 billion of us depend on nitrogen fertilizer, which they now say is bad because it's a greenhouse gas or whatever.
And in particular, what the net zero movement does is it ignores the benefits of fossil fuels and it exaggerates the negative side effects. That's the key thing that's going wrong. Fossil fuels are crucial to the availability of food for 8 billion people in two ways. So anyone want to suggest what are the ways in which fossil fuels are crucial to food? Fertilizer. So that's one. So modern fertilizer is derived from natural gas. We cannot feed 8 billion people without plentiful fertilizer. Before natural gas, we were trying to use bat guano. That was our best fertilizer. Bat guano didn't scale very well to 8 billion people. So natural gas is crucial. There's nothing close to natural gas in terms of fertilizer.
Meanwhile, a tsunami of illegals is slowly reintroducing screwworms and hoof and mouth disease to American livestock our ancestors tenaciously battled with and eliminated from the U.S. Our nation is running out of time. No one wins in a war against the farmer. Everybody starves and everybody dies. John Baum reporting for InfoWars.
Farm Wars, share that now at band.video. We'll be back on the other side with your daily dispatch. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's the American Journal. Very happy to be with you here this Monday morning. We got a weekend's worth of news to get into. Elections in Russia. bloodbath hoax going mainstream. We'll get into that with a fine-tooth comb. And, of course, we have immigration. Massive, unrelenting, uncontained, ridiculous immigration, including rule changes that are truly inexplicable. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 18th of March, 2024. Biden campaign and liberal media spread hoax that Trump threatened bloodbath if not elected when he was obviously talking about the auto industry. On Saturday, during an Ohio rally, former President Donald Trump said there would be a bloodbath in the automotive industry if President Joe Biden got reelected, meaning that many jobs would be lost. Liberal media and influencers jumped on the quote, took it out of context to suggest Trump was making violent threats. And we'll return to this just as soon as the dispatch is over. But suffice it to say, this is another layer on the layer cake of lies we're continually served. And it's just the next one. These people have already been primed to think that that President Trump is a violent person, that he encourages violence from his followers. And even though it's all predicated on hoaxes of this level of deception, every new hoax just piles on again and again. So we'll show you clips from the mainstream media to give you a taste of what the average normie out there understands about what Trump said this weekend. Then we have this. Putin claims landslide victory as Western leaders denounce Russian elections. Putin received congratulatory messages from leaders such as Chinese President Xi Jinping and Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro. Russian President Vladimir Putin claimed a landslide victory in Russia's elections as he was congratulated by leaders from pariah states and condemned by Western leaders. An exit poll shows Putin won 87.8% of the vote, and it appears as though he won more than 80% of every region in Russia so far. This, of course, is being called a rigged election by Western leaders with no evidence of it. I mean, 88%, that's pretty unbelievable. But then again, at least he's having elections more than Zelensky can say. So who is the real democracy now? We'll return to that in a moment as well. We also have this. Viral posts online have suggested that the BBC, Britain's public broadcaster, is, quote, on alert for an unspecified major announcement from the royals in the coming days. But the broadcaster has not said anything publicly to confirm that, Forbes reports. So we've been following sort of tangentially the bizarre timeline of Kate Middleton being gone, disappearing, hasn't been seen since Christmas. And in an effort to, you know, tamp down all the conspiracy theories and let everybody know she's okay, they released a very obviously photoshopped and edited photo that just made everybody more suspicious. And so we await some major announcement from the royal family. And again, we'll get into that a little bit later. Google surges on report Apple in talks to use woke Gemini to power iPhone AI. Apple is in active negotiations to equip iPhones with Google's generative artificial intelligence engine, Bloomberg News reported on Monday, citing people familiar with the situation. The possible deal signals Apple's AI technology remains inferior to Google's suite of generative AI tools. And this is convenient, you know? I mean, Google releases Gemini. It is obviously programmed to deliberately exclude white people from its results. It infuriates everybody. Their stock price tanks. But the beauty of you know, this sick ideology dominating our tech sector is it doesn't matter what the vast majority of people want. As long as one or two people in a rival company like Apple are into it, then you can make a deal and force it on everybody, whether they like it or not. So that's what's happening there. And again, we'll talk more about AI a little bit later. Finally, we have this. Wild photos show spring break mayhem in Miami Beach as cops arrest more than 250 partiers. Wild photos show the chaos of spring break revelry in Miami Beach as officials confirmed they have busted over 250 partygoers despite dramatic preemptive crackdowns by the city, including a midnight curfew implemented over the weekend. The hotspot for spring breakers implemented a curfew that began at 12 a.m. and continued till 6 a.m. Friday through Monday. The curfews came in response to last year's mayhem that resulted in nearly 500 arrests, the seizure of 105 guns, and two fatal shootings. There was actually a shooting in Jacksonville I believe, but it has been absolute chaos, even with attempts to keep people away from these areas. They're showing up and they're killing each other, so happy spring break, everybody. That's it. That's your Daily Dispatch. Today's Daily Dispatch brought to you by Survival Shield X3, now back in stock and on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to start with the hoax of the week, I guess you could say. The bloodbath hoax, as we covered in the Daily Dispatch, the story from Postmillennial. Biden campaign, liberal media spread hoax that Trump threatened bloodbath if not elected, when he was really talking about the auto industry. Let's not get too far over our skis here, because I see a lot of people on X, on Twitter, going, man, you know, thank God Elon Musk bought X. Otherwise, you know, this hoax would have worked. You know, luckily we can spread the truth about what happened and people won't fall for this hoax. Mainstream media, they're so passe. They're, you know, their time is over. They're trying to run with this hoax, but nobody's buying it. I'm not so sure. I see nothing different about the bloodbath hoax than I do about the Charlottesville pleasant people on both sides hoax, or the Trump is telling his followers to attack people at his rally hoax, or the January 6th hoax, or any of the other times where they've taken some statement of Trump's completely out of context, stripped it completely of any nuance or subtlety or reality of what he was actually talking about. And they just repeat it over and over to the point where the current president of the United States, Joe Biden, quotes the Charlottesville speech as the reason that he ran for president to this day, even though, again, what Trump was saying was not exactly controversial. He was not saying, I love Nazis. Nazis are good people. He was saying these are American citizens on both sides. Obviously, there are some good and some bad. I mean, you expect us to be, you know, what do you expect? That liberals watching the news who are told day after day, night after night, minute after minute, week after week, month after month, year after year, Donald Trump is violent. He tells his people to be violent. He encourages violence. His whole attitude is violent. You think that they're going to hear this bloodbath thing? They're going to go to X and search out a right-wing commentator's take on it, or they're going to go find the full clip in context on their own? They're going to do their own research and go, huh, I was lied to about this. Gosh, Trump didn't really call for a bloodbath. He was talking about the auto industry. They don't care. They don't care. Okay. And I'll show you clips that hopefully we can get in the mindset of these people, so people start understanding where we are as a country, where our fellow Americans are. And let's not get too confident that we see through this obvious hoax. We saw through all of the hoaxes. We were aware of all of the real content and context and reality around the statements that still to this day people use to claim that President Trump is a violent person who encourages violence amongst his followers. It's always been a lie. It will continue to be a lie, and they'll continue to believe it. So I don't want to get, you know, too confident in this and go, wow, this is so blatant and obvious. And I'll show you why in just a second. First, we'll show you some clips. Just try as an exercise, clear your mind, purge your mind of all thoughts, get yourself as liberal-like as possible. You know nothing. You're a retard. You're stupid. You believe everything that CNN tells you. You think that Trump is a violent psychopath, rapist, criminal, okay? You think the worst thing that the U.S. government has done in your lifetime is the fact that President Trump had people on his staff stay at his hotels when they were traveling to places at Scotland. I mean, when you think of government scandals, you're not thinking about 9/11 being an inside job. You're not thinking about Edward Snowden and the mass spying and surveillance on everybody. You're not thinking about the Monica Lewinsky scandal. You're not thinking about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden making millions of dollars in concert with the head of the Chinese spy agencies as they destroy Ukraine using subterfuge via the State Department and the CIA. You don't know about any of that. To you, the biggest scandal and the worst thing that has come out of the United States government in the last 10 years is President Trump made a couple extra bucks by having people stay at his hotel when they were on official work trips. I mean, that's where these people's minds are. You ask them about, you know, what makes Trump so corrupt. That's the type of example they bring up, and they are like foaming at the mouth, furious at this guy. They think that's like the worst deal in the world. It's evidence of what a corrupt, crazy person he is. I want you to understand how far gone these people are, how they know nothing about the real scandals. They know absolutely nothing about the reality of what the United States government is doing and the ferocity with which they are eradicating our basic human rights. They have no idea. All they know is Trump orange, Trump bad, big bad orange man scary. He hates women. He hates blacks. He hates Mexicans. I mean, they just believe all of this stuff because every day they turn on the news and they're given some new lie to pile onto the old lies. So we're not going to worry about trying to debunk all of these things. These people are lost. I want you to be in their mindset so you can understand what exactly we're up against. So you're a normie. You're a regular liberal schmuck. You turn on the news. It's ABC News. It's not some partisan, channel. This is America Broadcasting Company. This is the Disney company. This is truth incarnate, ABC News. Here's how they started the ABC News nightly broadcast last night. Clip number two.
Bruce in for Lindsay Davis. We begin tonight with the race for the White House and former President Trump's campaign now on the defensive after his fiery rhetoric at a rally in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night. Trump warning while discussing the economy that there would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November. This after the former president kicked off the event by paying tribute to those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. President Biden's campaign swiftly denouncing those comments as threats of political violence.
Okay, so that's all you know about it so far. You haven't heard the speech. You haven't heard the reality of it. You haven't been on X and seen the obvious appropriate context that puts this all in order. All you know is that Trump started a speech by praising the insurrectionist terrorist that tried to burn down the Capitol and kill Mike Pence. And now the Trump campaign is on the back foot. They're on defense. They're frantically trying to justify this obvious threat of violence that the Biden campaign has swiftly denounced in an expert and professional way. So again, this is how thorough their mind control is. Like the way they phrase things, did she lie? Did she lie right there? No, not really. Trump's campaign is on the defensive, talking about the statement he made. She said while discussing the economy. Now she didn't say he was mentioning a economic bloodbath. He was using the term bloodbath in an obviously metaphorical way to describe the car industry being destroyed by Joe Biden's policies. She didn't say any of that. But did she lie? Was it an outward blatant lie? No, everything she said, she was taking a lie detect test, would be absolutely true. Trump's campaign's on the defensive. He said the word bloodbath. He was talking about the economy at the time, but the Biden administration swiftly condemned it as a call for violence, right? Very sophisticated, very well-designed. These people know exactly what they're doing to manipulate the minds of the masses. And what's been planted like a seed in their minds in the first 30 seconds of turning on the news is, well, he did it again. Donald Trump once again is calling for violence. What a dangerous threat to democracy he must be. And this, of course, was propagated and continued to be spread across all mainstream media outlets. Let's go to clip number five here. This is the Biden's communication director, Michael Tyler, talking about this.
What I heard was a continuation of the same rhetoric, the same endorsement of political violence that we've seen from Donald Trump for years, as you pointed out. It goes even farther back, right? This is the same guy who, after Nazis marched on Charlottesville and killed a woman, said there were very fine people on both sides.
See what I mean? Do you see what I mean? It says it's not even about what he said this weekend. What he said this weekend is just, to these people, further proof of something they already decided years ago was the case, that everything Trump says is a secret call to violence and you just have to be able to understand the code words to work it out. So again, you talk to people about January 6th, they'll bring up how people were attacked at Trump rallies in 2016. Of course, the irony is that it was Trump supporters that were attacked in 2016. That was lied about, twisted into Trump being violent, which set the stage and set the prerequisite for them to believe that he was being violent years later. So, you know, what are you going to do? It's layers. It's layers of lies. Are we going to have to go back and talk about Charlottesville and about what that whole situation was about and about Trump's statement during those times? I mean, it's insane, infuriating. I just know that again, I see people on Twitter going, wow, you know, this, things are so different now. They're trying to run with this bloodbath hoax. It'll never work. It's like, you understand that 5 years from now, they'll be going, well, Donald Trump, he did call for a bloodbath after his election. Like, this is now the narrative. It's a complete lie. It is utterly baseless. It is without merit entirely. But so is all of the other lies that they believe that predicate this one. So I just really want to make this clear. You know, obviously, hopefully people can see through this, but they won't. They really won't. Let's go now to here. Clip 10 is Jen Psaki, former White House spokeswoman. And she talks about Trump's statements, but she's like, but she actually does it in a way that confronts the claims that they're leaving things out of context. Here's Jen Psaki.
Context, everyone. Otherwise, it's irresponsible. Well, if they want us to consider the full context, let's do just that. Because the full context is that Trump kicked off the same exact rally by saluting the people who were convicted for the deadly assault on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
All right, so let's just pause right there.
National anthem.
He saluted the people that were responsible for the deadly. Okay, the only person that was killed, the only people that were killed on January 6th were Trump supporters. Okay, not a single cop died, not a single Democrat died, not a single person other than Ashley Babbitt, you know, Roseanne Boyland, and a few others were brutally murdered by the police in cold blood when they were unarmed and peacefully protesting. So again, I mean, just lie upon lie upon lie just to deal with any of this. And it matters what your perspective is, because if you have been told that January 6th was a deadly insurrection where Trump supporters killed police officers and tried to overthrow the United States government and brought a scaffold to hang Mike Pence, and then you hear Trump say, yeah, they're patriots and we salute them, then yeah, that sounds crazy. It sounds like Trump is saluting violent psychopaths and encouraging them to do more. If instead you understand the truth that peaceful people who did nothing other than follow the instructions of the police as they were welcomed into the building and given instruction where to go and, you know, shook the police's hands, even helped the police in some cases, like the Oath Keepers, who are on video saying to the police, what can we do to help? Do you want to get people out here? We can start rounding people up and getting them out of here for you. So when you understand that what Trump is talking about from a reality-based perspective is the illegal prosecution of peaceful protesters by a despotic and tyrannical Justice Department, then it makes perfect sense that he would salute these people who are going through hell, whose lives have been utterly and completely destroyed despite never hurting anybody and never committing a crime. So it's all, you know. But she starts going, oh, they say we aren't giving the full context. Here's the full context. Trump tried to do an insurrection and salutes violent Nazis, and then he said bloodbath. That's the context. Like, this is how far gone these people are. The lies are unrelenting and unimaginable. But let's go back to Jen Psaki, who is giving us the full context, which in her mind means saying that Trump, before he said bloodbath, called for January 6, 2.0. Let's go back to Jen here.
Sung by a choir of imprisoned insurrectionists. The full context is that some of the first words out of Trump's mouth last night, same rally, were thanking those rioters and calling them patriots. The full context is that he also said in this same rally, quote, if this election isn't won, I'm not sure that you'll ever have another election in this country. The full context is that he went on to say some undocumented immigrants are, quote, not people. And of course, the full context is that this is much bigger than one single speech.
I haven't heard that.
This embrace of political violence.
It's bigger than one speech.
Language.
It's all of
this
the lies
what
we've told.
Has been preaching for years.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
In January,
this is the thing. It just piles on top and top. Right. So then they're just like, let us give you another list of out of context statements that aren't actually true. Meanwhile, you've got Joe Biden up in front of a blood red background going, my political enemies are terrorists and we will round them up. Their speech is not free. It's hate speech. So, you know, we got reality, and then we've got the thoroughly layered, just continually reinforced narrative, utterly false, that Donald Trump calls for violence. In a way, I sort of wish he would. I mean, I sort of wish like he'd give them exactly what they want. I mean, they're treating him like he does, but obviously you would see, I mean, the reaction in that case. If Trump actually came out and was like, if I lose everyone kill your politicians. Like, they would, their heads would explode because they know that's not what he's saying. Because they know that up until now, he has never called for violence. He has never encouraged extrajudicial activity. He has never told his followers to physically take on the opponents. They have. They said that quite a bit, actually. We'll show you a compilation of that a little bit later. But they know full well. I almost want him to say something like that just to have, just to see their real reaction when they're like, oh, we finally got one. He finally actually said the thing. We don't have to pretend anymore. But he won't say it because he's not that type of person. And they just lie and treat him as if that way, as if he talks about that anyway. But let's go now to clip number 12, because Nancy Pelosi sort of takes the cake here, the layer cake of lies. It's hoax upon hoax upon lie upon lie upon hoax upon lie. And it brings you to Nancy Pelosi. Here she is, clip 12.
He's even predicting a bloodbath. What does that mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath? There's something wrong here. How respectful I am of the American people and their goodness.
Oh, yeah.
But how much more do they have to see from him to understand that this isn't what our country is about? Praising Hitler, praising the Russians, honestly, I mean, condemning our soldiers for losing or dying in war. Or being captured in war. It said, what's wrong with Russia? They defeated Hitler. What about the millions of Americans who risked or gave their lives? What about him saying that soldiers buried in Europe, he didn't want to visit them because they were losers?
Yeah, what about that, Nancy? Yeah, what about all of that? Like, what are you talking about exactly? We don't understand. You're saying he loves Russia because Russia defeated Hitler, but that's also somehow him praising Hitler in his statement against John McCain, his rival for the Republican nomination, or at least a outspoken opponent of his during the Republican nominating process, is him actually saying that American soldiers were looted. Like, it's just further evidence. They have nothing. They have Democrats are frankly terrified of Trump. They have literally nothing. They have no policy to run on. They have no anything real to say about him. So they have to take literally one word out of a sentence and extrapolate it to Trump hates the troops and wants you to kill Biden. I can see it now because I've had these conversations and I know how this one's going to go. I know people on X are just laughing at this hoax, the bloodbath hoax, because of how just blatantly false it is. And it's got to be almost confusing for Trump in a way. I was trying to think of a way that this would work in your everyday life and just how, like, this wouldn't, I don't think it would happen in your everyday life. Like, it just wouldn't, this type of thing doesn't really happen if you're just like, oh man, if we, if this company doesn't do this thing, man, my stock portfolio is going to be a bloodbath. Someone's like, you're going to kill everyone? You just be like, no, No, I'm talking about I'm going to lose a lot of money. I said it's going to be a bloodbath in my bank account. The other person would just have to be like, oh, okay, I misheard you. Like, this wouldn't happen normally, and it's got to just be weird for Trump to, like, give a speech where he's talking about the automotive industry, and he's talking about the border, and he's talking about the January 6th protesters who are being locked up for decades despite hurting no one and doing nothing. And then he gets out, and it's like, Donald Trump calls for a bloodbath. He's just like, I what? Did I do that? Did I say something wrong here? No, he just used a very common word. And I didn't download any of them, but there's just montage after montage, compilation after compilation of the word bloodbath being used in headlines constantly. Every week there's some new headline. Bloodbath in the automotive industry. Bloodbath at big tech. Bloodbath as journalists are fired. It's a very common word. Everybody knows it. It's obvious. But you know how the conversation's going to go. You're going to be talking to some leftist person, and they're going to say, well, you see, you like Trump? You say, yeah, I like Trump. Well, but he called for a bloodbath. No, that was economic. He was talking about the auto industry. He said it's going to be a bloodbath in the auto industry if Biden gets in because, you know, he's going to hamper domestic cars and foreign cars are going to do a lot better. And they're just going to go, yeah, well, it's not the first time he's called for violence. Like, he's just going to go in one ear and out the other. It doesn't matter to these. None of this matters to the average person that believes this stuff. It's just another, they think it's just another piece of evidence on the big pile of evidence that Trump is a violent person. And you'd have to systematically go through every single one and try to convince them that it's not what they think it is, because every single one of the things they believe is a lie. And again, we'll get into some of the ways that this manifests. But it's also hilarious that Trump saying, if I don't win, there will be a bloodbath. But for all of time, we've been hearing how if he does win, it's the end of democracy and it's going to be a bloodbath. So I guess we're just, the bloodbath awaits one way or the other. Trump doesn't win, bloodbath. Trump wins, bloodbath. And of course, as Orrin McIntyre astutely notes on X in response to Joe Biden, right, president of the United States, says it's clear this guy wants another January 6th, but the American people are going to give him a resounding electoral defeat this November, which is very funny because he wasn't defeated resoundingly or otherwise in 2020. But that to the side, Orrin McIntyre responds to Joe Biden saying, the president or whoever actually runs this administration is intentionally lying in order to assert that his political opponent intends violence. The only reason to do this is to justify the violence that his administration and supporters will visit upon their enemies. And that's exactly right. It's not actually speculation. This is what they do, right? They murdered people on January 6th, and they don't think that's wrong. They don't think that's bad. They think, well, they were trying to do violence, and we did violence first. Fair is fair. And the only problem is that is one side wasn't actually doing any violence. The other side just murdered them. So the Democrat operatives simply murdered the Republicans. And then they said, yeah, well, but they were trying to do it to us. I mean, they weren't armed. They didn't say they were trying to do that. They didn't actually make any motions to do that. Nobody on our side was actually killed. But because we think that you want to do violence, then our overwhelming and deadly violence is therefore justified. So that's what they're setting up. It will be a bloodbath one way or the other, because the Democrats are doing everything they can to guarantee that. The Democrats' plan is a bloodbath one way or the other. I hope you get that. Not economically. I mean, like, literally they're planning on killing people like they did on January 6th. This is the crazy thing. Again, Trump didn't call for violence on January 6th. They killed people on January 6th. Okay, and they're going to do it again. So Democrats are going to kill more Republicans. And they're not going to feel bad about it. And the killers are going to get primetime interviews where they get to cry about how they're the real victim. And it'll all be predicated on the lie of Trump wanted violence, so we gave it to him. I mean, this is what they're setting up. And none of the truth matters to anybody. It matters that they repeat the same lie over and over until they think it's true, until their followers think it's true. But let's go to clip number 11, because according to the left, if Trump loses, he's calling for a bloodbath. If he wins, well, he's going to murder your kitten in front of you. Let's watch.
What would a second Donald Trump term look like?
Well, he cannot be the next president. Because if he is,
you can't imagine the things that he's going to do. Mexico, Canada. We can't go to Canada because eventually Canada will become annexed to America
and shoot visitors to the White House.
Yeah,
that means he can shoot the First Lady.
We're going to see violence the likes of which we didn't even see on January 6th.
Make it illegal to run against him, to throw his opponents in jail, to shut down the media.
He will make himself into the Fuhrer, and he will make everybody raise their hand and salute him.
Using martial law against the American people.
Terminate the Constitution.
To rewrite the Constitution.
Create mass internment camps.
Throw everyone into Gitmo.
Might be sent to jail, or their rights might be suppressed, especially minority groups in society.
You might have any number of things happen to you and your family.
Every one of us, our freedom, our liberty, none of us is safe.
He's going to have people around him executing against an enemy's list.
Assassinate generals.
Ordering troops to attack American citizens.
Trump's very well-armed and extremist base will try to kill people.
He's going to basically burn the house down.
He will unravel the institutions of our democracy.
Draw similarities between Mussolini and Hitler.
Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini.
Makes Donald Trump even more dangerous.
He wants to take away your vote. Senate and the House are immediately going to be paralyzed.
People will begin in their minds to censor themselves. They might say, well, maybe I shouldn't say this.
This is the end
end of democracy.
I think that could be the end of our democracy.
But democracy is dead if Trump is reelected.
Cozy up to Putin that democracy will be at risk.
The absolute destruction of the Justice Department as we know it.
The Justice Department could be entirely transformed.
I am really concerned about that.
Every person who was associated with the attempted coup elevated in the administration.
He's reelected. He will curb transgender rights.
The end of the rule of law.
Arrest political opponents.
To persecute, not prosecute, but persecute his enemies.
Take a wrecking ball to the rule of law.
He's going to make the law. Everyone else will have to follow.
A vote for Donald Trump may mean the last election that you ever get to vote in.
To go after the independent and free parts of American civic life.
It would tear down our institutions.
Purge the government of employees.
Department by department effort to weaponize the powers of the government.
To use the military to quash protests.
Ridding the government of all democratic safeguards.
Junking American democracy as we have always known it.
That he would try to stay in office beyond a second term. That he would never leave office.
There's no question. Trump is reelected. He won't leave.
Donald Trump will never leave office voluntarily.
And what that means is that everybody who wants us to remain a republic has to put every other thing aside and work together urgently right now to stop that from happening.
Oh my God, if all that's true, then I think it does justify violence against Trump and his supporters. He's going to kill your dog. He's going to be being trans illegal. He's going to look. All I have to say to that entire clip and everybody featured in it is I wish Trump was the guy that you think he is. It could save this country. I wish every single person you just saw in that montage spends the rest of their days wallowing in a concrete cell. I want them begging for another scrap of crust, and I want to laugh at them as they're denied. I wish Trump was the vengeful, dictatorial powerhouse that these people want to claim that he is. He's not, and that's why our country is doomed, perhaps. But they're convinced that he is, so they're going to do, oh, by the way, everything they said they're doing. I mean, pretty much literally everything, arresting, you know, dissidents, abusing the citizens, destroying democracy. It's all projection, obviously. All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to finish up here the coverage of the bloodbath lie, because obviously it's a continuing trend in American politics of lying about Donald Trump, doubling down on the lie, and then using it to justify extreme measures against Trump and his supporters, even though it's all based on a lie, as pure projection of what exactly what they're doing. In the next hour, we're going to move on to the Russian election, as well as the invasion and some of the changes, inexplicable changes happening to ensure that just the worst outcome possible is what we get from the invasion at the southern border. I do want to remind you to go to InfoWarsStore.com to support us. Survival Shield X3 is back in stock and on sale at 40% off. Incredibly powerful triiodine. That's three forms of iodine to maximize their effect on the human body. 40% off. Just incredible health effects that, I mean, you'll feel it. You'll notice. You will absolutely notice. I've noticed since I started taking Survival Shield X3 about a week ago. 40% off Body Ease as well. 40% off Turbo Force Plus. 50% off DNA Force Plus. Massive discounts. Incredible products. And best of all, you keep us on the air and winning the war of disinformation. And we'll get to that in just a second. Before we go anywhere, let's just actually give you what actually happened. Let's just show you the video that has inspired a weekend of hysterical screeching from the leftists and liberals. It has given them an excuse to pile on lie upon lie. And again, when they realize that, you know, the lie is not going to be as easy to get away with this time, and that you should actually provide context to the word that Trump used, because that's what it's all about. It's about a single word, not a statement, not a sentence, just a word, single word, bloodbath. And they go, oh, you want context? Here's the context. Trump calls for violence all the time, like on January 6th. It's like they know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. The context is the way the word was used in the sentence, which nobody would hear and believe was calling for violence. And nobody with a brain would even consider that. But when they say they're providing context, what they mean is, let me tell you a whole bunch of other lies that we've pulled off in the past. You remember those, right? Well, this is a new one. You're supposed to believe this, too. That's what they mean by context, seriously. But let's go now to clip number 23. Here is the actual clip of Trump actually saying the word bloodbath in its actual context, where it's obvious he's not calling for violence even in the slightest. Let's watch.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine, all he.
I can't believe Trump just promised to kill everybody. That was crazy. Wasn't that so crazy how he took a break from talking about the automotive industry to just say he's going to kill everyone and then went right back to talking about the automotive industry? Wasn't that crazy? I mean, in these people's minds, he's like, China, you're not going to get into the country with your cars. I'm going to put 100% tariff on the electric vehicles. And if I don't win, my supporters are going to kill all of the Democrats. Because, look, Mexico's taken a lot of our automobiles market, and we're going to get that back. Like, well, that's not what happened. No, he was talking about the economy. You congenital liars, you absolute civilizational arsonists, you utter manipulative morons. It's something else. It really is. And of course, you can find many of these clips and the whole story at InfoWars.com under the headline "Mainstream Media Humiliated After Caught Lying About Trump's Bloodbath Remarks." It doesn't seem like they are caught, does it? I mean, they keep saying it. They keep doing it. I guarantee you I can find tweets today from high profile Democrats or mainstream media outlets still pushing this lie. So, yeah, I mean, again, you know, we're sort of in this situation where things are different now. Things are different. It used to be, at least the perspective was, the view was that if you were caught in a lie, you'd be like humiliated and you'd have to backtrack and scramble to try to justify it. And you'd have to at least acknowledge that it was a lie. But that's not the world we live in anymore. Kind of like when you find out some huge story that totally contradicts what the mainstream media has been saying forever. It used to be the understanding that if something like that broke, it would change the conversation, that people would start, you know, they would take the new revelation and try to retroactively think like, okay, how did we believe the lie if this is the truth? The example I'm thinking of now is like when it came out that Anthony Fauci sent emails to his fellow scientists, as well as the mainstream media, going, really got to clamp down on this whole lab leak theory thing. We got to have a unified press against the lab leak theory, even though it probably is true and we're aware that it's true. You know, we got to manipulate the media to convince people it's not true. Like when it came out in emails that he more or less verbatim organized this pushback against what they knew to be true, that it was a lab leak origin, you would think that a bombshell drop like that, in his own words, his own emails, exposing the manipulation that convinced an entire country to look the other way and away from him while, you know, carrying out this criminal act. You would think that something like that comes out and everybody goes, holy crap, we got to, what the hell's going on? He's got to be charged. He lied to everybody. Who knows how many people died because of this lie, because we were sent chasing snipes, you know, chasing things that don't exist when he knew exactly where the source was. I mean, how much sooner could we have had a cure if he'd have told the truth about that? Like, you would think there'd be a major reorganization of the conversation once something like that dropped. You would think that when the lie is so obvious it can be disproven by showing the clip they're talking about, that they would go, oh, man, we really thought he called for violence. That was our bad. OK, well, that wasn't true. But here's why we still hate Trump. There's no attempt to reconcile the truth with the lie. They just keep lying. They know they're lying. They don't care because they think they have the will and the mind of the American people in a firm enough grip that they can just do that forever. And so they will. And let's just to finish out here, we'll go to. You know what I'll do? I'll play this Stephen A. Smith video in the next one because he's talking about the lies against Trump. And just to finish this out, some headlines from places like the New York Times, how Trump's allies are winning the war over disinformation. Yeah, in other words, the truth is winning the war against the lies because we don't have censorship. You'll see what I mean. It says, in the wake of the riot on Capitol Hill on January 6th, a groundswell built in Washington to rein in the onslaught of lies that had fueled the assault on the peaceful transfer of power. Right? An assault on the peaceful transfer of power when that's absolutely not what it was. The only reason people were there was to try to actually have a peaceful transfer of power be legitimate rather than hijacked by the deep state and Mark Zuckerberg and social media companies to force a president that wasn't actually elected into the office. So, like, they can't even tell the truth when they're talking about the lies. It's crazy, but this is the case. Social media companies suspended Donald J. Trump, many of his allies and his allies from the platform they had used to spread misinformation about his defeat. Well, again, this is not exactly true. He was kicked off of Twitter immediately after posting a video telling everybody in the Capitol to go home, to be peaceful, to not do what they're doing. It was a call for peace and a call for calm. And they didn't want that because that sort of contradicts their whole Trump is trying to do an insurrection narrative. So that's why they kicked him off of Twitter and other platforms, which, again, is just a mind-blowing thing that happened and that has still not been, you know, fully adjudicated and treated with the seriousness it deserves. It says Mr. Trump and his allies embarked instead on a counteroffensive, a coordinated effort to block what they viewed as a dangerous attempt, effort to censor conservatives. They have unquestioningly prevailed. Unquestionably prevailed. That means we won, folks. That means we are winning. The thing is, we're not winning our disinformation against their disinformation. Their disinformation requires censorship because if you're allowed to contradict it, their whole argument falls apart. So because we stopped their censorship and could therefore tell the truth and could therefore and can therefore destroy their lies, they're saying that we prevailed. Well, we have prevailed because the truth will prevail. It will come out. Your lies cannot sustain forever. You can keep doing it, but every new layer you add makes the whole structure that much less secure and stable. The whole thing's going to come down and it'll be a bloodbath. All right. Welcome back, folks. Second hour of American Journal is on. In the first hour, I've been reminding you that there is no debunking the mainstream media. They don't care. They just don't. You could debunk them just with video evidence and they just shrug and keep going. It doesn't matter to them. But there is something happening. There is a shift here. There is a bit of a undercurrent tidal shift taking place. And there's lots of evidence for this. We'll go now to a clip of Stephen A. Smith talking about lawfare against President Trump. Now, anybody with a brain should see how dangerous this is to the actual functioning of our republic or democracy, whatever you want to call it. Let's go now to Stephen A. Smith.
The high price of Democrats' anti-Trump lawfare, written by Daniel Henninger, spoke of how most Americans believe the rule of law is better than the law of the jungle, but how that could change. According to Henninger, the newest buzzword in politics is lawfare, or using the legal system as a weapon against a political opponent. Henninger questions how many lawsuits, court motions, and judgments against Donald Trump the Democratic Party can actually chow down on. He also ponders about the high price the American system may pay for all of this in excess. Let me tell you something. It was a great opinion piece. I completely agree with Daniel Henninger of the Wall Street Journal, the opinion piece that he wrote in there, because we've got to get to a point where we're saying when's enough's enough. Donald Trump made a very salient point. I know you don't hear me say that often, but it's true. He made a very salient point a couple of weeks ago, or I think it was in the immediate aftermath of Super Tuesday, when he was talking about President Biden, and he was saying, you know, come beat me. Stop trying to use the legal system in order to pull it off. Now, obviously, President Biden would say he has nothing to do with me. He's the president of the United States. He's not the prosecution in Georgia. He's not the prosecutor in New York. Okay, he has nothing to do with those things. So he may say, maybe it's true. But I find it very, very difficult to believe that everybody on the Democratic side is innocent. I mean, when you look at the inordinate amount of charges that are coming Trump's way, I mean, when is enough enough? E. Jean Carroll awarded $83.3 million in a defamation suit against Trump. Okay? By the way, New York judge Arthur Egeron ordered Trump to pay a total of $450 million in a civil fraud trial over valuations of his net worth. New York State Attorney Letitia James says if the massive bond isn't posted, she'll seize Mr. Trump's New York buildings. This is according to the article in the Wall Street Journal. We know about what's happening in Georgia. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, all right, regardless of her own stuff going on with her and somebody else, Mr. Wade, who's also an attorney that she utilized to go after Trump, but that's a different subject for another day, what they've got going on here right now. She goes after 18 other defendants for violating the state's Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act in connection with the 2020 presidential election. The presiding judge dismissed 6 of the 41 counts. This is all according to the article here. You got Colorado, Maine, and Illinois took various legal actions to ban Mr. Trump from the 2024 presidential ballot. Efforts recently blocked by a unanimous Supreme Court decision. They got a 6-3 majority, 6 conservatives, 3 liberals, but unanimously. They blocked this effort by Colorado, Maine, and Illinois. You got the special counsel, Jack Smith, going after Trump on trial for a set of federal charges. One over possession of classified documents, another for the former president's actions the day of the 2021 Capitol riot. Okay, that issue is still up in the air. And in the meantime, we've got a situation where a guy by the name of Robert Hur, a classified document special counsel, investigating President Biden, ultimately exercised prosecutorial discretion, saying the current president isn't exonerated but won't be prosecuted, leaving the situation involving Joe Biden to the court of public opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much to get into. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to simply say this. Trump is kicking the Democrats, you know what? 91 charges.
Four indictments. It's pretty obvious, counts. Actually. Thanks, Stephen. We're going to talk a little bit about Russia now. We've got a lot of immigration news, the invasion news, another place where you would expect the most, you know, cursory knowledge about it would reveal to everybody what a load of crap it all is and how everything they say is a lie. Everything they do makes it worse for everybody else. I mean, it's another one of these things where you would expect their propaganda to fail, but it continues. But we'll show you how it's they're losing some people, quite frankly, with the extremity to which they lie. We're also going to get into the red heifer controversy. We covered last week the giant sacrificial altar in Israel that some in that country hope to eventually bring back animal sacrifices in order to summon the Antichrist. We had that video go pretty viral over the weekend, posted by a bunch of really big accounts. So we'll revisit that and give you the full context, since a lot of times what we do here on InfoWars is sort of predicated on the idea that you already have some knowledge or that you'll go look into it yourself. So I'm just like, well, they're bringing up the red heifer to summon the Antichrist. And if you have done research and understand what I'm talking about and have looked into this, because this has been a story that's gone on for years, you know, to you, it's just like, oh, wow, they're building the altar now. They're really serious on this. For other people, they're just like, oh, what? A red heifer? What are you talking about? So we'll get into exactly what that means later this hour. But first, let's talk about Putin and Russia and the election and look at some of the statements of Vladimir Putin to see how America is viewed around the world, where people aren't quite so inundated with leftist American Democratic Party talking points and can see things maybe a bit more clearly than we can here. Infowars.com has the story. U.S. is not a democracy, says Putin. The U.S. has become a global laughingstock by criticizing democratic processes in other nations while suppressing a presidential candidate in its own election, Russian leader Vladimir Putin has claimed. Speaking to journalists in Moscow early Monday morning, shortly after preliminary results indicated he would be reelected with 87% of the vote in the Russian presidential election, Putin stated that, quote, the whole world is laughing at what's happening in the United States. Quote, we are behaving with more restraint than their opponents in other countries, and this is just a catastrophe, not a democracy. That's what it is. A catastrophe, not a democracy. That is well put, I think. And obviously, you know, the most apparent change, like whether or not he actually got 88% of the vote, I think it's valid to question that. That is a huge amount. It's just kind of unbelievable. I believed it more when it was El Salvador, because you have this president who just radically transformed the entire country for the better in just a few short years. So it makes sense that, like, under this massive systemic change, that people would like it and want more of it. Under Putin, I think it's a little bit less legitimate, a little bit less unquestionable. But here's the big difference. He did have an election, which is more than Zelensky can say, who, of course, canceled the elections for the duration of the war against Russia, which may very well be forever. So he may have just canceled it. That's it. That's what he did. But again, hilarious that we're fighting a war for democracy when you've got Ukraine on one side, who does not have elections, made all of their political opponents illegal, shut down the dissident newspapers or just politically misaligned newspapers there, nationalized them, seized their assets, and even imprisoned some of them. So just total abject undemocracy versus Russia, which at least had elections. And there is reason to believe that Putin at least won. Maybe he didn't win by 88%, but I don't think there's much doubt that he certainly was victorious in the election. Regardless, here's another aspect of this that makes Russia at least seem more democratic than even a place like America. We'll go to clip number 17 here. I won't play the whole thing, but I'll show you his answers here in another clip. But first, we'll go to clip number 17. And right off the bat, this should be evidence to everybody that Russia is in many ways more democratic than even the United States. Let's watch.
Kirsten's from NBC News. Mr. President, journalist Evan Gershkovich spent this election in prison. Boris Nadezhdin, who opposes your war in Ukraine, wasn't allowed to stand against you. And Alexei Navalny died in one of your prisons during your campaign. Mr. President, is this what you call democracy?
Господин президент, американская телекомпания NBC, Кир Симмонс, мой вопрос. Американский журналист Эван Гершкевич, среди многих, кто провел...
Эван Гершкевич was one of the people who spent this time in prison. Надеждин, who was fighting against the war, was not allowed to participate in the elections, and Навальный died in prison during your campaign. Do you think this is democracy? This is life. If Mr. Nadezhny took part in these elections, that means it was the result of his unsatisfactory work or preparation. Maybe he should have avoided any mistakes of providing the applications. As far as I understand, this was the problem that he did.
All right, we can take this clip down. I don't actually care that much about his answers, because the fact that he took the question is evidence that Russia is more democratic than America. I mean, we've seen time and time again, first of all, President Joe Biden doesn't take questions. Sometimes he asks permission, can I take questions, you guys? And they're just like, okay, everybody out. Okay, everybody, goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. Everybody out now. And they just like shove all of the reporters out. And when he does take questions, the question and the response are quite literally scripted on a script right in front of him. And we've seen this. He's got a paper and it says, here's who you call. Here's the question they're going to ask. Here's your answer. And they pretend to do a back and forth. They act out the facsimile of taking a question from a reporter when really it's a reporter saying her line and him saying his line because they're actors acting. And none of the questions are ever something that they don't want out into the world. You never get questions given, you know, to the president of the United States about the persecution of January 6th opponents, or really hardcore questions about, you know, the lawfare against President Trump. Those aren't allowed. So that alone, put the voting to the side, put all that to the side. What we just saw was a foreign, you know, to these people, enemy journalist from the BBC asking very pointed, poignant, and troubling questions about the state of democracy in Russia. The fact they were allowed to ask that is more democratic than America at this point, where the answers and questions are scripted, where the journalists who actually get to answer, ask questions are universally on the side of the Democrats and are giving him softballs so that he can, you know, say his line back in return and act like this was, you know, him being sharp and intelligent and actually taking questions. So the fact that Putin even took questions like this is proof that in at least one way, his administration is more open and able to withstand alternatives than even ours is. But he did have some pretty harsh words for American democracy, so-called. Let's go to clip number 18, as Putin takes aim at the Biden DOJ for persecuting Trump. This is during his victory speech in the question and answer session right after. Let's go to clip 18.
Do you want my opinion in terms of whether our elections are democratic? I believe that, yes, they're democratic. Whereas in some other countries, like in your country, can you consider democratic when one side is using the justice machine in order to attack one of the candidates? We do not have any preference for any candidates in the U.S. We will work with anyone who is elected. But using administrative resources, justice system, this has become a joke, an international shame for the U.S., for your so-called democratic system. And I believe that I've got all reasons to believe that there's no democracy in the election process in the Western countries, and especially in the U.S.
Well, he ain't lying. He's not wrong. Again, the story's at Infowars.com. U.S. is not a democracy, says Putin. We are behaving with more restraint than their opponents in other countries, and this is just a catastrophe, not a democracy. That's what it is, the Russian leader added. He also said, quote, I think it's obvious to everyone that the American political system cannot claim to be democratic in any sense of the word. He said in an interview with journalist Dmitry Kiselyov. Putin refused to comment further on current presidential campaign in the U.S., but described the atmosphere as becoming increasingly uncivilized. And again, he's not wrong. He is not wrong. Here is another clip of Putin knocking American democracy. Clip number 16 here. And then we'll show you some more evidence that maybe Putin's 88% victory is not as far-fetched as it may seem. Let's go now to clip 16.
And what is happening with this voting by mail in the United States of America? Who was standing there controlling the whole thing? No one. You can buy a vote for $10, and then you buy 1,000 votes, and you just throw it in at midnight, the whole parcel of it. So that's the voting for you. That's democracy for you. We have nothing of the kind. Yes, we are trying to improve our system to make it better during the presidential campaigns. And we will be glad. We are willing to share this experience with anyone.
He's like, if America needs a lesson how to run an election, we can teach him. We can give him that lesson. So yeah, again, he's just like, oh yeah, this mail-in ballot thing, or you dump all the ballots at midnight, nobody knows where they came from. That's not democracy. That's a scam. This is a scam. Everybody sees it. Everybody recognizes it. who's honest. Right? Even the people who pretend not to recognize it, they do recognize it. They just like it. They just think it's a good thing. That's the only difference. Is the Democrats are like, oh, we cheated to win. Yeah, well, we did it better than you. You would have tried, right? It's the same sort of projection where they're like, I mean, they literally think that Trump is Hitler. So what would you do to stop Hitler? You wouldn't create a couple ballots? I mean, come on. I mean, come on. They're the good guys after all. Nothing they do can be bad because they're good. That's their mental construct. Again, from InfoWars, the headline, Putin wins fifth term as Russian president with 87% of the vote. He just secured another 6 years as Russia's president, effectively ensuring that he will surpass Joseph Stalin as Russia's longest-serving ruler should he successfully complete his latest term when he will be 77 years old. In a bid to step up his war in Ukraine and challenge the West, the Kremlin, with the Kremlin claiming record support, public support for him in a vote whose outcome was largely predetermined, even without the mystery sacks of mail-in ballots arriving at 3 a.m. Well, let's go to another clip. This is clip number one in our list. And this is actually an interview of it's a BBC reporter in London interviewing Russian people who are there to cast votes in the presidential election. When they're asked who they're voting for, she says, oh, we're all voting for Putin. Let's watch.
In the queue more recently aren't part of the protest. If I could just speak to you. If you don't mind me asking, who are you here to vote for?
It's actually a very private question, but I will be voting for Putin. It's well my... Yeah, well, that is, you know, our president. I'm quite happy.
Yeah,
I'm quite happy with him. You know, I know that tastes are differ, opinions also differ. You know, people vote for whomever they want. At the end of the day, we will see, you know, who win. But I'm quite happy with what we've got. At least we know his policy. I know where he's going to, you know, and all the other candidates. They are probably, you know, today they exist, tomorrow they disappear. It's one day, people. So I prefer to be more conservative and to trust them.
Do you feel that you're in a minority here, or do you feel that other people who are going to vote for Putin simply aren't prepared to say?
You know, to be honest, if we will be now in Moscow or in St. Petersburg, so the people will be probably more scared to vote for whomever they want to vote. They will be all voting for, you know, the candidate. But here in London, people are more free. They can vote for whomever they want. So nobody will stop them. Nobody penalize them. But I'm still happy to vote for Putin, even I'm in London, even I'm in England. I'm abroad, but I'm still quite happy what he's doing. I'm quite happy with his policy. And to be honest, I strongly support him.
But a lot of the anger that we've heard expressed by other people
really
in the queue is about the war in Ukraine, the death of Alexei Navalny. How do you feel on those issues?
You know, about Navalny. So this person, he knew where he's going to. So he... as far as I know, he was living in Germany. His family lived in Germany. His wife is in Germany. Kids, children in Germany. So he had a quite comfortable life. So he knew what he is going for, returning back to Moscow. So he did it knowing where he's going. He knew it will be not just like flowers. So he got what he was going to. So, and I was actually very much upset. I was very much upset that his wife didn't come for the funeral. His kids didn't come for the funeral. I find that, you know, like sort of unhuman. You know, we're Orthodox, and it's, I think it's abnormal, you know, when the...
All right, so we can take it out. I mean, I think the most interesting part about that answer, she's like, look, you know, if you're talking about Moscow, St. Petersburg, talking about like repression or people voting for Putin out of fear, like you might have an argument there in Russia. You know, maybe that is happening, but I'm in London where there's no pressure, where nobody's going to hurt me or stop me or intimidate me, and I'm voting for Putin. So what now? I mean, what are you going to say? Oh, I guess Putin has the will of the Russian people and is the correct person for the job who's actually running the president. No, of course they're not going to say that, because their entire war aim is overthrowing Putin and getting a regime change war in Russia going. So they have to keep painting him as a despotic tyrant, even if he's being voted for and elected president in a fair election, which they haven't released any information showing that it's not a fair election. But the real problem, you understand, the real problem is, and this is the difference between Russia and America, is that there's only one Putin instead of two, right? The correct way to do a democracy, according to the American regime, is you're supposed to have a red and a blue that are the same. You're supposed to have a Putin and an anti-Putin who both believe exactly the same things in all of the important topics. So you're supposed to give people the illusion of choice, when in reality, the outcome is the same every time. And they're mad that Trump is actually an outsider. He's actually doesn't fit into that paradigm, which is why they hate him so much and are persecuting him with relentless anger. Yeah, this is the way you're supposed to do it. See, the way a real democracy works is you would have Putin, and then you'd have like Putin's cousin who believes all the same things as him, where it really matters, except they have minor differences in fiscal or tax policy. And then, you vote for one of them and you get the same outcome regardless. That's what they prefer, not this whole, one guy thing. And again, you can just hear the frantic stupidness of the leftists with this CNN headline: Russian presidential election 2024, Putin extends one man rule over after staged managed election devoid of credible opposition. See, that's the thing. You needed a fake opposition leader, Putin. See, in America, we don't have one man rule. We have one system rule. We have one regime rule. We have one network rule, where if you're an agent and a face of the deep state, then you can pretend to be in opposition or part of the regime. It doesn't really matter. They're all part of the regime. And that's what's considered credible opposition. Somebody like Jeb Bush, somebody like John McCain, right? These are the people that you're supposed to float as if they're different than Joe Biden and Barack Obama, but who will continue the wars and continue the destruction of America unimpeded, just under a red flag instead of a blue one. That's what they prefer, and they're very mad that Putin doesn't play that little game. President Vladimir Putin has tightened his grip on the country he's ruled since the turn of the century, with results from Russia's stage-managed election indicating a predictably large victory for the Kremlin leader, and a result that was a foregone conclusion. The results mean Putin will rule until at least 2030, when he will be 77. Russia's longest-serving leader since Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, he will secure a third full decade of rule. Staged-managed election. Hilarious from the people who fortified our election in a very staged-managed sort of way. Tightened his grip on the country. The funny part is, okay, so Putin, how long has Putin been in office, right? They say, this is his, sixth victory, sixth time he's become either president or prime minister. He's basically ruled the country since, when was he elected, guys? 96, something like that? Doesn't actually say. The question is, how's Russia done since then? What's the situation of Russia now versus 1996? And if it turns out, as is the case, Russia basically went from a despotic backwater, a failed Soviet experiment that was ruled by oligarchs who systematically deprived the Russian people of everything they would need to become a first world nation, to enter into the family of nations that is Europe. Did they go from that to what, by all accounts, Tucker Carlson's documentaries included? So when 1999, okay. So take a look at Russia in 1999, and take a look at Russia now, and ask yourself, are they better off? Are they wealthier, more prosperous, more free, more current. Their technology is caught up to the rest of the world. Their culture, largely healthy and good and productive. And if that's the case, why wouldn't you vote for Putin? I mean, it's one thing if you have like a despotic tyrant who is exploiting his country and then just keeping his people in a state of slavery. But if Putin has spent the last 20 plus years bringing Russia from the third world chaos into first world prominence, yeah, doesn't that mean people are probably going to vote for him so that keeps going instead of reversing? Ladies and gentlemen, we are back halfway through the show. We'll be joined by Native Patriot in the third hour. Of course, covered a very powerful post of his, laying out a prediction of what he thought would happen in 2024 and beyond, and how closely it aligns to what myself and what I know Alex has talked about being the plan of the leftist to essentially start a civil war one way or the other. We'll talk to him about that, about the real bloodbath that's being planned, not the economic one, but the literal one by the Democrats, who see violence as justified because Trump is kind of mean sometimes. Trump isn't careful to couch his beliefs in the flowery, limp-wristed language of social diversity or whatever. So therefore, you know, violence is justified. So we'll talk to him in the third hour, but I want to show a bunch of videos here having to do with the invasion, the full-scale migrant invasion that is really getting to a point of crisis that I don't think we're prepared for. For example, clip number 13 here, New York City, as you may know, is a sanctuary city. Diversity is their strength. They're eager and willing to bring in migrants to the United States just as long as they stay away from New York City. But New York City got what they asked for. Now they have hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans and, you know, from wherever else pouring into the city, receiving millions of dollars in benefits and not even applying for jobs. I haven't seen an updated number, but last time we checked, it was something like 2% of the immigrants actually even applied for jobs. 98% of them perfectly fine, just showing up and accepting handouts. Unfortunately for them, there are both no jobs for them to fill, should they even want to, and they're about to have their benefits cut off. So what's going to happen when you have tens of thousands of foreign men in New York City who have been told you're not getting any money from the government and also you're not allowed to work and there are no jobs? So good luck, you know, have fun with that. What's going to happen? God only knows, but it is happening. Clip number 13. Let's watch.
Tompkins Park. This is the most popular migrant shelter where all of these men come once they come into New York City. There are hundreds upon thousands of men. We have met men that have wristbands, and their number is in the 19,000 before they can go in and sleep in that shelter. Mayor Adams put out a paper, and he put out an announcement saying that after these men have been in the shelter, 30 days is their limit. After 30 days, they will no longer be able to be housed. They will be put out on the streets, homeless. What we learned today by reading, we physically held the paper that says what is going to be happening to these migrant men. On that paper, it said that migrant families will not be treated the same way as these migrant men. Migrant families will be able to reapply. After 30 days, they'll be able to reapply for a different shelter. So all these men that you see around here,
just hanging out,
are soon to be let out on the streets in New York City. And homeless. And what they said, one man said, why did Joe Biden let us come in? Why did Joe Biden let us come in if he's not going to allow us to work? Someone said that to me today. Because these men are not allowed to work, they don't have work permits, and they're basically just stuck hanging out here all day long. Show them.
So, yeah. Why? That's a great question. Why would Joe Biden allow in tens of millions of migrants and then just let them loose on the American streets? Why would he do that? Well, votes for one thing. Obviously, when you've got, they're able to get driver's licenses. Also, they don't even need them to vote. Obviously, voting is a big part of it. Also, just the general chaos, filth, misery. That's the food the Democrats thrive on. That's what they need. Okay, there it is. Just 2,000 migrants in New York have even applied to work. None of them have been approved to earn a paycheck. So hundreds of thousands of migrants, 2,000 of them have even applied, and they're not even allowed to work in the first place. And now they're getting kicked out of their shelters because there's no room. So what are they going to do? They're just going to hang out all day? So we just brought in hundreds of thousands of people to New York City and are just like, hey, just waste your time around here, you know? I guess just spend all day hooting at white women, I guess. What else are you going to do? It's not like you have any drive or personal initiative. If you did, your countries wouldn't look like they look. You wouldn't have come here in the first place. If you had some sort of desire to build something, an entrepreneurial spirit, you know, a hard work and attitude, just to do something to improve the world around you, you wouldn't be here. You certainly wouldn't be, you know, just sitting on the ground like a Hindu mystic, just waiting for whatever. I mean, whatever, right? Just, what are they waiting for? We don't know. But they're here by the hundreds of thousands. And now they're being kicked out onto the street to just do whatever. I mean, not work, nothing productive, nothing legitimate or credible. Not that we even want them to have those jobs. And we'll get into that in the next segment, exactly how not only is Tyson's food, but a cabal of corporations systematically firing Americans to hire illegal immigrants, giving them just unending benefits. I mean, these corporations are rolling out the red carpet for illegal migrants. I mean, they, and I'm serious, like, when it comes to, they're like, oh, Americans, we have to, like, provide health insurance and pay a salary to. That's, like, reasonable. Ooh, that's too much. We'll take the migrants who we'll provide houses for, we'll provide transportation for, and we'll provide them lawyers so they can argue their case and try to stay in the country, and we'll pay them, but we'll pay them significantly less, but we'll provide them housing and medical for all of their kids, too. I mean, they are literally just pouring benefits onto the illegal immigrants while simultaneously firing Americans who have worked there for decades. It's sick. And again, the purpose of a system is what it does. Why did Joe Biden bring in a bunch of grown adult men from countries that aren't at war while not having any jobs for them, where they can just create chaos and commit crimes and rape and murder people with impunity because they're released every time they get arrested? Why would he bring them in? For that exact reason. You don't understand. If you were Norwegian engineers, you never would have made it in the country. Okay? If you were Dutch farmers, if you were South African farmers, you even getting near this country would be considered a racist thing, and you would be fired out of a cannon into the sun. No, you being worthless dependence on the system and a criminal underclass is the reason you're in here, because this is the design of the Democrat policy. Make everything worse, take advantage of the strife and misery to promise a solution that only makes everything worse, repeat ad nauseum until the civilization collapses, in which case they believe they can rebuild a better system. That's what they say. This is what they're telling you. Purpose of a system is what it does. I don't quite have time to get to this next. I'm going to go to like three or four different videos in the next segment, because not only are we going to get a view of exactly what the benefits are of being an illegal immigrant to this country and how it is such a successful magnet, a draw for people from around the world. But also we'll see some American people actually waking up to the reality of what's going on and the way that major corporations are just in a very blatant and egregious way announcing that they prioritize foreigners over Americans. And in that way, they'll destroy the country. We'll show you that on the other side. Remember to go to InfoWarsStore.com to support us here. InfoWarsStore.com is the only way that we get funding. It's the only way that we stay on air. It's the only way to fight back against the globalists that's this effective. InfoWarsStore.com. Go there today. All right, folks, we have a lot to get into this segment. I mean, the stories coming out about the invasion are just... you're not prepared for this. If you haven't heard this, you're not prepared for some of this stuff happening. First, we go to clip number 20, clip from Fox News, showing a TikTok video of a Venezuelan migrant bragging and encouraging other migrants how they can have a free ride and be paid by these stupid Americans just for having a kid there. Let's go clip to clip number 20.
Venezuelan migrant laid out the scam. Break in, drop a baby, and be a welfare king.
To all those women that find themselves pregnant and are in Latin America, please come have your baby in the United States. And if you get married, you'll get more back in taxes. And, well, if you have 5 or 6 children, can you imagine? My daughter is American and she gave me citizenship. She pays our rent. She pays our bills. She gives us $1,500 a month since she was born. I have 6 months in the USA and I have everything you don't have. Citizenship, residency, a good car, and a good apartment.
Now, when American women get pregnant, the government helps them stay single, work, and have an abortion. When a migrant gets pregnant, the government helps them cross the border, have the baby, get married, don't work, and put their hand out. Primetime producers crunch the numbers. A migrant family of 4 in New York could get over $20,000 a month in freebies. $500 a night at a hotel, $130 a day for food, and having 2 kids in public school costs us $5,000 a month. We didn't even tack on Mayor Adams' $1,000 cash gift cards, the free health care at the ER, or the free phones and free lawyers, or the $400,000 in free college tuition per dreamer. Meanwhile, taxpayers with jobs in New York pay thousands to live in a closet.
Mm-hmm. So that's $20,000 a month. So unless I'm crazy, I mean, that's almost $250,000 a year. It's like pretty much $250,000 a year. Think about how hard you'd have to work to make $250,000 a year. That's like, that's 1% money, $250,000 a year. I mean, I think if you're, if you make like over 100,000, you're in the top 1% in America. I mean, that's a lot. But if you're a migrant, you don't have to do anything. You just show up, plop a kid out with the free healthcare system for you, not for us, but you get it. And you get $250,000 a year, essentially, as a salary for doing nothing from American taxpayers. It's a deliberate policy of replacement migration. Make it incredibly hard, difficult, nearly impossible in America for Americans to have children while encouraging, subsidizing, and facilitating immigrants coming across and having as many kids as possible. It's replacement migration. It is a racial attack on America in a deliberate attempt to wipe us out. Because, I mean, look at that guy bragging about how much money he gets from his kid being born, bragging about taking advantage of America. Think that guy's going to overthrow the system anytime soon? Think that guy's a threat to the people in power? Think that guy's going to vote for anybody but Democrats for the rest of his life? I mean, this is what's happening. This is the deliberate eradication of the American people and their replacement by dependent, corrupt. I mean, it's like a corrupt thing to do, right? You're taking advantage of this system for your own benefit and encouraging others to do it. So this is the moral, physical, literal degradation of America on full blast, continuously paid for by your money, destroying your world. There should be a bloodbath, is all I'm saying. But let's continue, because Americans are waking up to this, at least some. Let's go to clip number 6 here. Are Americans waking up? I don't really know, but here's one person who seems to have.
There's now a measles outbreak. In Chicago, at a migrant center, so that's wonderful. They're saying most of them obviously are not vaccinated for measles. And when asked to get this vaccine, they're obviously saying no. And they're just like, okay. Like, excuse me. You literally shut down the whole world for us not getting a COVID vaccine. Pretty much everyone lost their damn jobs. We weren't allowed to actually be normal human beings. But these migrants are coming in and you're saying, okay, and then giving them free debit cards to go along their merry way. Like, what? Like, to be completely honest, if something like COVID happened again, I wouldn't do it. As a nurse, I wouldn't do it. Sorry. Not if borders are open, I'm not.
None of our effing borders are open, I'm not. Yeah, it's deliberate. I mean, this should be obvious to everybody. And again, the complaint is very valid, where she's like, okay, these people, there's a measles outbreak. So obviously they're taking up resources in the hospitals and things that otherwise would go to citizens who need those resources. Of course, they're not paying. The citizens would be, but the citizens still are paying, just they're paying for the migrants through the taxes that are then given to the hospital to fund the migrant invasion. But they're like, okay, I don't get this. When I refuse a COVID shot, I get fired from my job. I'm not allowed to do anything. I'm excluded from public life. When these random foreigners who come over refuse to get a measles shot, it's just like, okay, fine, here's a debit card. Doesn't this seem a little unfair? Yeah, it's deliberate. It's obvious. It's on purpose. They are replacing you and they're making you miserable. And it's exactly the same thing about having kids. When I want to have a kid in America, I got to pay for it. I got to save up. They make you prepay for your delivery fees. You got to have a good job with insurance. Even that doesn't cover it. You got to go back to work right away. You got to, struggle to even have a kid, because first to even get to that point, you got to try to save up money, which is increasingly impossible. There's barrier upon barrier upon barrier for you having a family. When it's migrants, come on in, plop out as many as you can, live off of welfare that's maximized because you're a migrant. We'll provide you a place to stay. We'll provide you health care. We'll provide you babysitting and food money. And we'll give you debit cards so you can have some entertainment on the side. Everything is arrayed against you and for them, because the people in charge hate you and love them because they're not you. Because you're productive, you're responsible, you're an adult, you're an American, you're a white person, you understand freedom, you grew up in America with some indoctrination, at least when you were young, into the ideals that created this country. You're a problem to the people who want to enslave the world. So you're being replaced deliberately, on purpose, egregiously, and they're spitting in your face while you do it to demoralize you in the process. The immigrants, they're pliable. They're happy just to have a place to live. They come from a country that's collapsed and broken because of the moral incontinence that undermines their every process. That's why they want them. That's why they're being brought in. It's not because they're desperate refugees and asylum seekers in need of help. It's because they're being used, weaponized. They are the disease. They are the sickness that's being brought into America. Quite literally, they have measles and all these other things that we've eradicated here. They're bringing them back. Obviously, but in a more civilizational health way, they are the disease that you're being deliberately infected with, just like the world was deliberately infected with COVID by the same people that are invading America with the immigrants. It's a policy of destruction against you. You're under attack. Thanks for waking up momentarily. Time to take it the whole way and understand the true war that we are involved in right now. But let's go now to clip number 4. As, again, more people seem to be waking up to this, and this is a very good video. Let's watch.
1980, which, of course, should have been changed a long time ago. So they're bringing them in. You wonder where the money coming from. They're taking it, the COVID fund that was here, yep. That money. Yep. You're talking about all the pro housing programs. So when people pay rents, all the rental programs, that money. All the programs that we have in the city of Chicago, they are bankrupting us. They are taking from all of these programs that we have, and they're taking the money, and they're funding the migrants. Yeah. Our taxpayers, we've already paid $32 million out of our taxes to house and take care of the migrants thus far. Now, we already know the only ones who qualify to become citizens in asylum here from the starts of the, if they were here after August, they don't even qualify. But here we're going to be taking care of them for 5 to 7 years while there's paperwork floating on people's desk. And why? Send them home. Send them back. But Venezuela already said, oh, we're not taking them back.
Mm-hmm.
So now.
I got a question for you. Who did you vote for?
First of all.
They all laugh. They all know what the answer is.
Saying that okay. I did vote for Biden because I was not voting. Okay. I did.
Okay,
but
listen,
here it is.
Wait. That was a question.
Okay.
Have you answered it, right?
Okay.
This migrant influx that we're dealing with right
mm-hmm.
now, this is your fault.
Uh-oh. Okay, well,
No, be humble. Admit it. You thought you wanted this. Now you got it. So admit, okay, I chose wrong. All right, Trump wasn't a racist for wanting to stop the migrants. He foresaw this horrible situation and tried to stop it. I was too stupid to listen. I voted for the guy who promised to bring in the migrants. Now they're here. I got what I asked for. I'll vote differently next time. That's the only conclusion you should come to. I was wrong. I'll vote for Trump next time. All right, welcome back, folks. We'll be joined by Native Patriot in the next segment. Let's finish up this segment by talking about, again, some headlines you're not going to believe, but they are true about illegal immigration. LA battles spate of burglary tourists as marauding gangs from Chile, Ecuador, Colombia, and Peru jet in on 90-day visas, ransack millionaire mansions before fleeing back to South America. This has gotten so bad, the LAPD has actually launched a task force to combat the threat of these burglary tourists. Some have been accused of over 30 robberies throughout Southern California. And of course, they're getting sophisticated. They're using things like Wi-Fi blockers, signal jamming backpacks in order to prevent people from calling 911 or seeing them approach on Wi-Fi cameras as they systematically rob people in the United States before fleeing back to their home countries. But why would you even need to when you get the benefits of just coming here and staying? You might as well just come here and stay. But that's a story from Daily Mail. Burglary tourists, gangs coming from Chile, Ecuador, Colombia, and Peru, almost like a reverse like Spanish takeover of South America. You'd go and you'd plunder and rape and rob and then head back to Spain to spend your ill-gotten money. It's basically what's happening here, only we're the victims here in America. And we're allowing it to happen by facilitating it and giving them visas to do so. Another headline that should just blow your mind. Gun ban for nonviolent illegal immigrants found unconstitutional. So you would think that the point of the Constitution is to give rights to American citizens, but apparently not. A judge has decided that even illegal immigrants are allowed to own guns in this country, despite being illegal immigrants and their very presence here in America being a crime. Oh, but they're not violent. Well, let's give them a gun and see what happens. Finally, we have this clip number three. We covered it last week. Tyson Chicken, or Food Corporation, closed down their Perry pork plant, fired 1,200 American citizens. The 15% of that town just got fired. And of course, that doesn't even include all the people that sell pigs to Tyson, all the other industries that spiral out from that. While they're simultaneously hoping to hire over 40,000 immigrants for labor manufacturing jobs, fire 1,000 Americans, hire 40,000 illegal immigrants, give tax, make taxpayers make up the difference. Here's clip number three talking about how this is happening in a systematic way.
Tyson is committing to hiring 2,500 refugees over the next 3 years as part of the broader coalition of companies.
As we've been investing in refugee hiring, it has delivered nothing but goodness into our workforce.
Employing refugees is doing good, but also a great and smart thing to do from a business perspective.
We're so honored to be part of an effort where companies can come together under leadership like Tent and do really good things for our country and for refugees.
For Amazon, we're so much stronger because we have such
Blackstone.
A diverse workforce.
I mean, this could be a super powerful movement. If you can provide brighter futures through employment, you help create a better future for everybody.
It's embedded in the culture. The refugees and immigrants made this country what it is today.
Thing I want to share with the companies, please hire refugees. You will find hard workers, smart, intelligent, and loyal.
Yeah, not like Americans. Americans aren't smart, intelligent, or loyal. There's Pfizer. So you got Pfizer, you got PepsiCo, you got Blackstone and BlackRock, right? All the good guys in American, corporate landscape deliberately not hiring Amazon there, just not hiring Americans because they're not loyal or smart or intelligent and hardworking. No, those the Venezuelans who come here and make videos bragging about how their child is their meal ticket and how they don't have to ever work anymore. Those are the real heroes that we need to bring up. So this is called the Tent Partnership for Refugees. And it's a part of the Department of State's Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration. It's a public-private partnership with the Tent Partnership for Refugees to support employment opportunities and economic integration for refugees and others forcibly displaced people around the world. Secretary Blinken signed a memorandum of understanding with the Tent Partnership for Refugees today. This partnership seeks to mobilize U.S. and international businesses and corporations to connect refugees with work opportunities. Aliens get everything. American citizens get to pay for it. Please register to vote. Deliver an overwhelming victory to Donald Trump. That's a statement from Joseph Trimmer. All on purpose, folks. Your government at work. And I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Native Patriot, a patriotic figure. He's called Native Patriot on X, and he's with us today to follow up on a thread that we covered last week that predicts political violence surrounding the 2024 election. His website is thepatriotsprayer.com. He's on Substack, it's x.com/LaNativePatriot, L.A. Native Patriot. Welcome to the show, Native Patriot.
Thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure, and viewers of the show will know that we covered your thread last week where you were just sort of playing out and predicting what's going to happen after 2024, and I thought it was very astute. And then, of course, I went to your Twitter feed, and I encourage everybody to go follow Native Patriot at Lud. Is it Lud Native Patriot? Is that how I should say it, or L.A. Native Patriot?
Yeah, it's a substitute for the. I don't want people to think that I live in Los Angeles.
Okay, right.
That's
right.
Why I kept it lower. But I mean, I still live in Washington State, which is very, very liberal up here. But yeah, not L.A. So
Law Native Patriot at Law Native Patriot. So again, just going through your Twitter feed, I was like, all right, I align with this guy on just about everything. I'd love to talk to him. So tell us, I mean, what do you think is going to happen in 2024? I think your read was very similar to mine, maybe a little bit different, but you see the same signals I do. What's your prediction for 2024?
Well, in that particular tweet that you had read out, I was predicting more of the best case scenario if Donald Trump wins, right? So what we need to do is, obviously, we need to get more people to register to vote and to get out there and to vote for Donald Trump. But at the same time, the last election, Donald Trump was, or there were going to be riots around if Donald Trump won.
Right.
And I predict that that's going to happen again, that they're going to plan more riots again. But this time it is going to be a little bit more difficult to control with the, I mean, the low estimate is, what, 7.2 million. But we know for a fact that it's not 7.2 million and that there's been more crossings since then. And a lot of them are military age males. So if there are plenty of riots around the country, there are going to be there's going to be more chaos with these people in there, because like you said, they're building camps that we literally have tens, if not hundreds of thousands in these cities that are added chaos to it.
Right.
And I don't know how they can stop that. I don't know how you can necessarily prepare for that if you live inside the city, because it like once the chaos erupts, you know, we don't have any way to stop the initial burst of it, but we can curb it after the fact. So, you know, if you do live in the city, I'd recommend getting as prepared as you can, having a bug out bag and being ready to flee at a moment's notice. I really don't want to create panic for people who live in the city, but you need to be mentally ready along with physically ready to tactically retreat, if you will, if that's the case where these riots break out. And I mean, like I said, it could be martial law. We've never really seen that, but there's no way of knowing exactly how fast these things are going to get out of hand, because people really tend to forget what happened back in 2020. The focus has been on January 6th for a long time, but there was 100 plus days of riots before that, and a lot of those people walked free. They didn't get locked up. They're not in prison. So what's to say, or what's to stop them from doing it again when Donald Trump gets elected in November?
100%. And not only were they let free, a lot of them, the ones in Philadelphia and New York, if they were arrested, they got payouts. They got $20,000 checks individually. individuals got $20,000 to $30,000 from the city for rioting. So, I mean, what, you think they're not going to do that again? Not only do they get to riot and steal and loot, they get $20,000 checks from the government for doing it. So, no, I think you're exactly right. And when you really picture these migrant camps inside New York City, inside Chicago, in the Chicago airport, these are tens of thousands of people. You don't think they're going to go get involved in the riots once they start up again? And then even if Trump does something like invokes the Insurrection Act, they're going to claim that that's Trump being a dictator and try to use it to impeach him and stop him from doing that. I mean, they're setting us up to lose here as far as I see it. I mean, do you think it'd be better if Trump won or better if Trump lost? Because I sort of see, well, to use Trump's, well, to use something other than Trump's words, I see a bloodbath either way. That's not actually what Trump said, but but seriously, I mean, there's going to be a bloodbath either way. They're going to activate their rioters. The illegal immigrants are going to join in. They're either going to stop Trump from invoking the Insurrection Act, or if they win, they'll invoke the Insurrection Act to go after right wingers. I mean, which is the better scenario, Trump winning or Trump losing under this understanding?
I believe that this is going to be a necessary pain that we have to go through. We cannot kick the can down the road any longer, because what that's going to do is exacerbate the problem in the future. If we don't get Trump elected this time around, then there will be more illegal immigrants. The economy will get worse. And I mean, it's going to be bad either way, but in order to fix the problem, we have to address it. And the only way that I can see that we can address it is if Donald Trump gets in office. And I mean, yeah, that's the only way I really see this fixing the problem. But they will say that he's a dictator. But remember, after if Trump wins in November, there's 2 months until he's sworn in. And I think that that's a lot of the time where these riots are going to take place. It is going to be full on chaos until he gets sworn in. So that's the time that I'm really worried about. You know, the World Economic Forum has talked about cyber attacks and things like that. And I'm more worried that when Donald Trump wins and before he's sworn in, there will be chaos during those 2 months or that 2 months time where he won the election, but you know, like definitively won the election. That's what I'm hoping for. But he hasn't been sworn in yet. So Joe Biden still has that power. You know, the Democrats have been saying for years about how the peaceful transfer of power is what Donald Trump wanted to stop. But to me, it seems like there's been a lot of projection from them in the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times what they accuse Donald Trump of doing, they're doing behind the scenes. And so that kind of worries me with that 2 month time. And I think that Americans really need to prepare themselves for kind of a worst case scenario, even though, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen and, you know, maybe it'll tone down, but based on everything that I've seen, it won't.
You know, I completely agree. I think that time period between November and January of this year is going to be like the most dangerous time in America for any of us in our lives. You know, I mean, maybe not like the 60s, but for the last 40 years, things have not been too crazy. I think they're going to get completely insane following this election one way or the other. And I think you're exactly right. And you know, speaking of the bloodbath scenario that we spent the whole first hour just debunking their claims, the ridiculous hoax, but it almost doesn't matter because it's just another lie on top of the pile of lies that they have constructed to believe that Trump is a violent person. But isn't it just laying the groundwork for them to say, well, we have to be violent because look how violent the Trump supporters are? I mean, I think you said projection, you know, you mentioned projecting this onto to us. They're doing it in order to justify their own violence, is my opinion. What do you think is behind the whole bloodbath statement that just goes on top of the insurrection claim and the very good people hoax and the, I mean, just hoax after hoax after hoax? To me, it seems like they're setting up the minds of the Americans to accept violence against Trump supporters by painting Trump supporters as the violent one. Do you follow me here? Do you see what I'm saying? Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of see this in a different light, though, because I had people in my family back in 2015, 2016 that absolutely detested Donald Trump. Right. They could not stand him, and they were good people. It took me a couple years to convince them that the media was lying to them. But this is another one of those opportunities that it's so blatantly wrong that if you do have somebody on the fence near you in your family group, in your friend group, that still believes the legacy media, this is a good opportunity to show them the what the media says Donald Trump is trying to do and what he actually said and what he was actually talking about. I mean, the definition of bloodbath, there's a couple different definitions, but one of them is an economic disaster. Right. He used it in the proper context. And so what the media does is they take the worst possible interpretation and then lay that blame on all of the Trump supporters.
Right.
And they blame everybody around. So, I mean, you are right as far as them trying to lessen Trump supporters. I mean, this goes against the entire anti-white agenda that's been going on. I mean, I believe I had posted something about Advil saying that there's inequity and pain. And right. So we need to have, white people feel less. I mean, there's so many fronts in this where they're trying to dehumanize their opposition, whether it be just white people or whether it be Trump supporters in general. They do their best to dehumanize them to justify their acts of violence against them because they're lesser. They don't feel as much. They don't have the same kind of empathy that people of color have. And I mean, they're like, it's disheartening to see how that they've come to this point and how we as a country have come to this point. Because I mean, the America I grew up in, it felt so different than what it is today. Like I say consistently that I grew up in a post and pre-racist America.
Right.
And now we've gone full circle back to being racist. And it's not in the same way though. It's a targeted racism where they want to dehumanize a certain population. And so a lot of it's to get white votes. Since white people are still the majority of this country, they want to instill white guilt into a lot of people to the point where they feel compelled to vote for the left-wing group because they feel so bad. But then also, it's like you said, it's to dehumanize and justify violence against them. So,
you know, I hadn't even thought about the dehumanization aspect of that Advil campaign. Yeah, Advil came out with a, black people feel pain more than America. I didn't even think about that being a dehumanizing sort of statement, but you're absolutely right. It really is. And then you're also right about the fact that they go, white people are evil. You're evil by virtue of your birth, but you can make up for it by just voting for us. Just give us the power. And now you will be absolved of the guilt that we've imposed on you. That's so brilliant. And you know, I consistently say, and I assume you're Native American because your image is sort of Native American. You got the flower in your, the flower icon in your name and stuff. I don't know. I don't really care, to be honest. No offense, but it doesn't matter to me, right? It's about nationalism. It's about, are you a citizen? Are you an American? If you are, great. You're in the club. We're in this together. If you're not, the government's here to protect us from you and to help us and not you. I mean, is nationalism the solution here? Because I really think it is. I can look at a black, Hispanic, Native, white. Doesn't matter. I say, are you an American? If the answer is yes, it's like, great. We're on the same team. Here's why we need to fight for what we fight for. If you're not an American, I'm sorry. You got your own country. They'll fight for you. You fight with each other. Our nation is our family. I mean, isn't nationalism sort of the ultimate unifier rather than a divider?
Oh, it absolutely should be. And often I say that I'm Native American with emphasis on American.
Right.
Right. And a lot of the times I actually use my me being Native to kind of keep the lefty trolls away. Right. And that's kind of worked on X because they play identity politics so much that, you know, when they come to argue with me, and I've actually had a person come up, not come up to me, but on X and say, you know, if you don't like it here, then you should leave. And I was like, oh, should I go back to my home country? Right. Like, that's kind of it.
But, it confuses the lefty. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so I use their own stupid rules against them to the best of my ability.
Good.
But I believe I have a, you see back here, it says Tribe of Patriots. Right. Mm. And so this is kind of a network that I'm beginning to start where anybody can come together. If you want to make this country great again, if you love this country, if you are a patriot of this country, then there's certain things that you can do. I mean, everybody has special talents, and there's certain things that you can do to help this country out. And a lot of the people that follow me feel the same way. It doesn't matter your skin color. And I mean, it's like the America that I grew up in is what I want to bring back. And that is being a patriot of this country. They've tried to dirty up the word patriot. They tried to dirty up the word nationalist. And I don't want to cede that ground, because patriot stems from a place of love. And if you love this country, you're going to protect it. It's the same goes for your family. If you got, you know, as me as a father and a husband, my job is to provide, protect, and to prepare. You know, those three things go hand in hand. And once I have God, family, country, and that's the way we have to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure of your religious beliefs or the audience out there, but that's the order I see it. And the only way for us to protect this nation is to come from a place of love, because from what I see from the left, it's a lot of hatred. It's a lot of destruction. It's a lot of resentment. That's why they have the riots. That's why they tear down statues. That's why they're erasing our history. I mean, it goes as far as this fight I found. Well, actually, I should say it kind of found me, is to protect Native American imagery.
Mm.
You know, they've had the Redskins gone. They're going after the Chiefs now. Red Manchu is no longer around. The Land O'Lakes lady on the butter is mm-hmm. gone. So they've been erasing Native American history, but it's American history. It's not just Native American history. It's part of this entire communist attack to destroy our history. So we no longer revere the founding fathers. And so we no longer respect that they built a nation where our rights stem from God, not from man, right? They declared to the world back in 1776 that our rights stem from God, and that the governments of man cannot take those away. They can either protect or they can infringe, but they don't have any ability to actually take those away. And people have forgotten that. So we need to go back to our foundation, our roots, and understand where our rights come from and whose responsibility it is to protect them. Because it's not just the government's responsibility to protect them. It's us. As loving patriots of this country, we have to step up in every aspect of our lives. It doesn't matter if you're a you know, 70-year-old grandmother. You know, what you can do is you can help spread your knowledge to your grandkids. Yeah, I mean, there's so many ways that everybody can help. And it saddens my heart just to see America slowly deteriorating and falling apart, and people still spending money on companies that hate them. You know, mm-hmm. that's one of the biggest things that you can do, is just spend your money in places where that share your values. You know, I know you'd brought up Tyson Foods earlier, mm-hmm. and how, I mean, they're working to actively take Americans out of jobs and use our tax dollars to bring in illegal immigrants into those jobs. Yeah. And I mean, what are we supposed to do about that? The only thing we can do without, you know, some kind of revolution is to stop spending money there. And they're a huge company, but it's step one. That's what we have to do. It's going to be painful, but we need to stop spending money on companies that hate us.
And honestly, it's really not even that big of a sacrifice when you look at some of these foods. I mean, you shouldn't be buying Tyson Foods anyway, because of the crap it's made out of isn't natural. It's all poison anyway. But boycotting these stores, just being a little bit more considerate about where you spend your money and who it's with. And also just having a government that doesn't provide incentives for these companies to do it. I mean, and it's one of the things where it's like, I, in a lot of ways, despise the communist Chinese system, the social credit score. I mean, all that stuff is obviously just anathema to everything I believe. So no credit to the Chinese, except in one place where they'll send billionaires to prison. They'll take the head of a company that's doing something illegal, and he goes to prison. And what do you think that does to the rest of the companies? Their presidents are all going, oh, crap, are we doing that? Let's stop doing that, because I don't want to go to prison. I think we should, you know, if your company is found to be employing illegal immigrants, you're going to jail. The CEO should go to jail. And for some reason in America, if you're at a certain, you know, income level, you're untouchable. Your company or you personally can do whatever you want, and you'll sort of get away with it. I would love to see the American government. I don't want to see them involved in much, but taking on corporations is something that we need a government to do, because we can't do it as individuals. So yeah, I think going after Tyson Food for this should be the job of the government, because the government's there ostensibly to protect the people. It's also there to protect the border, because we can't do that as you know, individuals. So, I mean, the government is just failing on all fronts. What can we as individuals? You've already spoken to it some, and I, again, this is why I wanted to have you on. I knew you'd be, you know, poignant on stuff like this, passing on your information, you know, telling people, be prepared. You don't have to be paranoid. You shouldn't be freaking out, but you might as well be prepared. What other advice do you have for people as things get more chaotic and as our civilization continues to unravel? What do you think it's important for our audience to focus on?
Well, there's a couple of things you can do. As a man, you need to start a family and you need to have kids. That's going to give you a great incentive to to be the best version of yourself that you can be, because having kids is one of the most beautiful things that you can do. And the only way that we can bring our country forward is to actually have a family and raise them in that way. Now, that is going to bring with it a lot of fears, because if you don't do anything about the state of the country, then what kind of world are your kids going to grow up in? So that's one of my biggest incentives and motivators, is to actually step out and make a change. And that's why I started speaking up, because the best weapon we have is information and spreading that information to people who may not understand. That's why I said that Donald Trump clip with the bloodbath, that's a great opportunity to use with people who have been on the fence, or who kind of look around and understand that, like, hey, you know, something's wrong. And it's like, well, the government or the media has been lying to you. I mean, the government kind of tells them to, but you know what I mean? The media has been lying to you, and they have a separate agenda that does not work well for the American people. You know, as a Native American, we were, you know, we used to inhabit the entire country. Now we're down to 1% of the population. Well, you know who's next? It's the standard American. That's the next one who wants to be the I don't know what to call it, the World Economic Forum, the globalists. Mm-hmm. They want to make the standard American 1% of this country. Right. I don't know how they're going to achieve that, but they do not like our founding. They do not like our rights. So I would suggest that. Well, I'll go back to what I said before, as far as being, you know, a husband and a father and a patriot of this country, you need to provide, protect, and prepare and spread as much information as you can that is as close to the truth as it can be.
Yeah, 100%. I could not agree with you more. And what I always say, you know, when people say, are we doomed? You know, is this country doomed? I say, I'm not doomed. My family's not doomed. So everybody else might be, but I'm prepared. I got my storable food and my guns and my exit plan. So we're good. Hopefully you are all too. And hopefully we can do this together. Incredible stuff. Native Patriot on X at La Native Patriot, LA Native Patriot, but it doesn't stand for Los Angeles. La Native Patriot.
Yeah.
ThePatriotsPrayer.com. Incredibly powerful stuff. I know our audience is going to resonate with your message, and hopefully they can go and find you on X, and they're at ThePatriotsPrayer.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Incredibly powerful stuff, and we'll have to have you on again soon. Before everything breaks down and the cyber attack happens, we don't have internet anymore, we'll have you on again to discuss what we can do to prepare. Thank you so much for joining us, Native Patriot.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. All right, we'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. The only way that we get funding, the only way that we're able to be on air with the incredible crew that we have, the incredible graphics, the camera operations, I mean, all of this is brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. And if you go there and get Survival Shield X3 or Turbo Force at 40% off, you're making a huge difference, and we really do appreciate it, and every contribution is sincerely appreciated by everybody that works here at InfoWars, because without you, we would not be able to do what we do. But on another level, without you, what we do here won't make a difference, because no one will hear it. We need you out there in cyberspace or in real life helping to get our message across. And I have a troubling example, but also an opportunity. And it's with this post from Modern Warfare with Alex Jones at Alex Jones MW3. Take a look at this censorship that's taking place. He says, I was doing good. And then it's like somebody flipped a switch and turned it all off. We are still being censored on this platform. So he went from 51 million impressions, his impression count rising 545%, to being less than 1,584,000, down 72%. From 51 million to 500,000 impressions. That is the type of censorship that we're under. They don't just kick him off. They don't just ban his platform or ban his account. They do crush it to nothing. Private or profile visits went from 64,000 to 1,300. Okay, this is the censorship that's taking place on X right now. Even though we're back on, even though it's censorship free compared to how it was before, you can see the effect that it has. The bad news is it's quieter, it's more subtle, it's less noticeable, this type of censorship. The good news is you can overcome it by sharing our information. You can overcome it by having a profile that you share this information that other people see, because just because a profile is being crushed, if you retweet it, if you quote tweet it, if you take it down and repost it yourself, maybe your account is not being crushed in the same way that the original account is. So maybe it gets out to more people, and I'll show you examples of that. Here's the other way that they're censoring us on X. If you'll go back to the screen, you'll notice that over here there are two people mentioned in this tweet. One is Modern Warfare with Alex Jones, at Alex Jones MW3. The other one is InfoWars, the at InfoWars account. Oh, and it just switched from follow to following. Did y'all see that happen live? So previously, even though I do follow InfoWars, it was saying that I wasn't following InfoWars, and I've had to go and follow the InfoWars account multiple times because it unfollows me from the account. So just be aware. You might be unfollowed from people that you want to be following. You might be unfollowed from at Real Alex Jones or at InfoWars or at Harrison H. Smith. Make sure that you're still following the people that you thought you were following, because sometimes you realize, oh, I'm not following at InfoWars anymore. Why did that happen? Well, because they're subtly and quietly censoring us. So you can actually get around this. And here's a great example of how this happens. Last Friday, we did a segment about the sacrificial altar awaiting the red heifers to be sacrificed in order to bring about the building of the third temple and the Antichrist. And it went pretty viral over the weekend, not because we posted it, but because other people did. And so if you look at sort of the path this video took, I believe it was first uploaded by Yurin Tian Lady. I don't know how to pronounce that exactly. But she posted this video in all of its glory, the full 10.5 minutes of it. She got 500,000 views on that. But then that was reposted by Sovereign Bra with a very thorough breakdown of what the Temple Mount and the Third Temple and the animal sacrifice would bring about. So he got almost 1 million views there, 927,000 views. It was posted again by this account, Cillian, at SilcomLFC. He got an additional 40,000 views. So we're, breaking 1 million views. Who knows who else is posted this? These are just the ones I've seen. But that's 1 million views, at least, on our video that otherwise would have gotten a few thousand, maybe, a couple tens of thousands on band.video. Maybe it gets uploaded here or there. Maybe we upload it and it gets a couple thousand views. But it's when you, as a user, you as a consumer, you as a viewer or listener or info warrior out there, take our content, repost it, share it with relevant big accounts, have them repost it. That's how you get eyes on this. It's not about self-aggrandizement. It's not about, check me out, I got 1 million views. Frankly, I didn't even think I did that good of a job, which is why we're going to revisit that topic here. So, I don't even think it necessarily deserves that many views because of me. I mean, it deserves that many views because it's important information that people need to know. So I'm glad that people are spreading it. But this isn't about, look how many views we got. This is about breaking through the censorship barrier, breaking through the sort of white noise machine that they have going to drown us all out. So we're not censored. They don't tape over our mouth. They're just sort of playing background noise to drown us out. They're sort of encouraging people not to look at us, not to pay attention to us, not to share our information. So the bad news is these are subtle censorship tactics that you can see how effective they are when people like Modern Warfare with Alex Jones go from 51 million to 500,000. Yeah, that is a massive decrease in visits. So, it's effective. That censorship is effective, but it can be overcome. It can be reversed. It can be broken through by you going out and reposting things and sharing them with big, tagging big accounts, doing whatever you have to. That's actually the free way to support InfoWars, and it's incredibly effective and important. And we thank you so much for your participation as we stand here shoulder to shoulder on the front line of the information war. This is how we win, is breaking through the censorship and getting this information out. So I'm going to go to some articles about the red heifer sacrificial altar controversy, because obviously it's getting a lot of attention and people want to know about it. So we're going to give you the truth behind it. But we got some other stories here in the last few minutes of this segment. Woke people are more likely to be unhappy, anxious, and depressed, new study suggests. Well, I wonder why. I wonder why that could possibly be. Is it because your worldview is a construct of lies? Is it because you're suffering under the cognitive dissonance of believing things that you know in your heart to be blatantly untrue? Could there be some struggle between your instinct and your consciousness, where your consciousness is trying to tell you no, to be a good person, you should hate people, and your heart is telling you, this doesn't sound right, actually, and that causes some sort of, you know, frequency malfunction, you know, some sort of interference in what should be a well-performing brain? I don't know. I think it is. I say, is ignorance bliss, which is hilarious. Very hilarious, is ignorant bliss. See, what they're doing here, I don't know if you recognize this, what they're doing here is saying that, see, woke people, they aren't ignorant, and so they're unhappy. If they were ignorant and just thought everything was fine, then they would be happy. But once you know the truth about how bad white people are, it's going to make you unhappy. No, no, no. Wokeness is insanity. Wokeness is to be unhappy, anxious, and depressed because you believe blatant falsehoods. You're living a lie. Yeah, living a lie makes you anxious and depressed. It should be obvious. I mean, if you were like a career criminal, you think about like The Sopranos, right? The whole plot of The Sopranos is that you have this ruthless killer career criminal who's in a constant state of anxiety. He's having panic attacks because he knows that at any moment, one of his crime syndicates could collapse and he'd go to jail or be killed. So you've got this like sword of Damocles hanging over you. So yeah, of course you're going to be anxious. You're living a lie. You're doing things you shouldn't be doing. You're worried that you're going to be found out. That's not a way to live. If you're honest, if you're truthful, if you're upfront about everything, if you recognize the world for what it is, you're not going to be unhappy, depressed, and anxious. You're going to be fired up and ready to fight and confident and powerful. Just amazing. Psychological researchers in Finland have created an assessment to help measure an individual's commitment to principles of social justice and have made some surprising findings across the Finnish population, including a negative correlation between progressive ideals and levels of happiness. Again, I'm not surprised, folks. Oh, what do you believe? Oh, I believe that my race is evil and that men are all out to rape me and that I just don't believe any of the stats I see in the news. Why am I unhappy? You want to talk about a literal bloodbath? Well, what do you think you do with blood from the sacrifices? Red cows, red heifers. We covered the story, we showed you the clip from CBS News. The story's here. What these red cows from Texas have to do with war and peace in the Middle East? When Hamas spokesman Abu Aida began to speak, marking the 100th day of the war in Gaza, one confounding yet eye-opening proclamation escaped the headlines. Listing the motives for the Palestinian militant group's October 7th massacre in Israel, he accused Jews of, quote, bringing red cows to the Holy Land. Huh? Red cows? What the heck are you talking about? Well, the cows he was talking about are red heifers, which now graze at a secure, undisclosed location in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Some Jews and Christians believe they're key to rebuilding the Jewish temple that once stood in Jerusalem and to beckoning the Messiah. To understand, you have to look back almost 2,000 years in the tumultuous history of the Middle East when the ancient Romans destroyed the last temple in Jerusalem. To rebuild it, fervent believers point to the Bible's Book of Numbers, which commands the Israelites to offer a red heifer without defect or blemish and that has never been under a yoke, Only with that offering, they insist, can the temple rise again? Now, so much of this has to do with and is intertwined with the overall conspiracy of one world government, in that the prophecy of the Messiah and the end times, I mean, the Masons, right? The Masons call themselves the Freemasons. Their whole symbolism, all of their symbolism is about Solomon's temple. It's about rebuilding the temple. The Knights Templar. Templar means the Knights of the Temple. It's all about rebuilding this third temple. Now, this sort of changes from Christian denomination to denomination, depending on how sort of infiltrated and misaligned you are. But as far as I understand it, my personal view is that Jesus was the Messiah. He came. He fulfilled the prophecies. It wasn't in the way that the Jews at the time thought it was going to be, so they killed him. And over the last 2,000 years, it's been more or less proven correct as Christianity has gone on to establish the greatest civilizations the world has ever known. But they're very insistent that he was a false Messiah and the next Messiah will come. Some Christians believe that Jesus will be returning. Others believe that next in the litany will be the Antichrist, and that a false Messiah will return. And whether or not you even believe in this stuff, the people at the top do believe in this stuff, or they at least find it extremely useful to believe in this stuff. It adds a lot more gravitas to your global government if you can convince a vast majority of the people in the world that you're being led by a Messiah, that it's God's will that you create a unified one world government with its headquarters in Jerusalem. It just gives you a lot more ability to insist that opposing you is therefore opposing God, is therefore blasphemy and worthy of death. That's essentially what the construct being built now is. And it's being used cynically and hypocritically by powerful people in the world who are sort of orchestrating the fulfillment of prophecy in order to give, again, a sort of religious legitimacy to what would otherwise be obviously a global power grab. So I don't think any of it's legitimate. I don't think any of it is actually the fulfillment of prophecy, except in that they're going to bring about a false Messiah who will fulfill the Revelations-style Antichrist one-world government with the 666, the numbers and the mark of the beast, and the you can't buy or sell anything without the mark in your hand or on your head. Khaled Marshall, who is a senior leader of Hamas in Qatar, gave a interview after October 7th. Mashal told Bakri that the operation Al-Aqsa Flood on October 7th was necessary to disrupt Israel's scheme to, quote, import 5 red cows from the United States of America to implement the Zionist plan to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque in the shortest possible period. Shame would stain the nation's forehead, Mashal continued, and so the Al-Aqsa Flood operation was necessary. 5 red cows imported from the United States, destruction of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, what on earth is he talking about? Well, he's talking about a preemptive strike, essentially, saying they're going to try to sacrifice, you know, these red heifers, destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque to rebuild the temple. And they're doing it with the support of sort of end times infiltrated Schofield Bible Christians and Jews and Muslims, for that matter, who, you know, think that also Jesus is going to come. I mean, it goes into the Abrahamic religions that they're trying to unify into one single one, where they went up actually to Mount Sinai to announce that they were unifying the Christian, Muslim, and Jewish religions into one single Abrahamic religion. All of this is prerequisite to the supposed coming of the Messiah. It involves a magical portion of the biblical origin that some ultra-Orthodox believe is required to build the Jewish temple on the Temple Mount, on land currently occupied by Al-Aqsa Mosque, one of the holiest sites in Islam. The potion involves a mixture of spring water and the ashes of a ritually sacrificed 2-year-old cow or heifer that must be covered by red hairs only. At the moment, 5 candidates for the sacrifice are quietly grazing at an undisclosed kibbutz somewhere in Israel. So apparently they were born in Texas, shipped to Israel, and now await the sacrifice. Now, I don't think I need to tell you, animal sacrifice, not something we really consider civilized, not something that we consider a necessary component of religion anymore, even though it was a part of religion for millennia prior to Christianity. Christianity sort of did away with the need of that. And if you read the Bible, just read the, you know, the Gospels, it's pretty obvious that Jesus is like, one of his primary messages is like the perfunctory sort of acting out of ritual is not nearly as important as the spiritual dedication to what the ritual is supposed to mean. In other words, if you sincerely beg for forgiveness from God and you actually repent and you actually understand what you did wrong and you want to be better and you ask God for forgiveness, you can have forgiveness. If you don't really care and just put your sins onto a chicken and kill the chicken, it doesn't really count. And this was like a big part of Jesus's message. We talked about it with the washing of the feet as well, where the Pharisee guy is like, you know, she's unclean. She hasn't done the ritual. And Jesus is like, but she sincerely is repenting. She sincerely desires forgiveness. That's what's important. Not going through the motions, right? The going through the motions is supposed to be a physical and, you know, tangible part, an expression of what you're supposed to be feeling, which would be repentance and sadness and regret for having sinned. But if you don't actually feel regret, but you're just going through the motions, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really count. That's not how this works. That was like Jesus's message. So this is a reversal of that. And they're trying to bring back the barbaric practice of sacrificing a red heifer, sacrificing cows, sacrificing animals on an altar in a temple, which again has not been necessary in the Christian understanding of things and has not been possible in the Jewish understanding of things for the last 2,000 years, since, as Jesus prophesied, the temple was utterly and totally destroyed. And all you have to do is just search red heifer. We've got the myjewishlearning.com talking about the cow whose ashes were used in the purification rituals for ones who had been contaminated after coming into contact with a corpse, discussed in Numbers 19, 1 through 22. You've got from free.messianicbible.com, the red heifer in the third temple in the end time prophecy, where they talk about the way that the red heifers will be used as a signal and a sign that the coming of the Messiah is imminent. And of course, you have from Donnie Darkend, the altar for sacrificing red heifers in Jerusalem has just been built, and they're saying the ceremony may now take place any day, as I've seen they've been warning for many years, but now they've actually got the red cows. You know, that's apparently how God still works. He's just waiting for them to geoengineer red cows in fulfillment of prophecy. The red heifer prophecy from the book of Numbers involves a unique ritual for purification in the Jewish tradition. A completely red heifer is sacrificed and burned, and its ashes are mixed with water to create a water of cleansing for those who've touched a corpse, which symbolizes the purification from death's impurity. The commandment is linked with the messianic hopes and rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Jews are awaiting a Messiah who aligns with specific prophecies, such as bringing peace to the Middle East and the world through political power. They believe Jesus didn't fulfill these expectations during his first coming, but we as Christians will hold that he will achieve it in his second coming, as told the apostles and explained in Revelations 19, the red heifer ritual taking place now as part of their preparations for this future era. We as Christians, however, obviously believe Jesus is the Messiah and see his rejection as setting the stage for the rise of their false Messiah. Whether you believe it or not, they do, and they're orchestrating. And of course, if they destroy Al-Aqsa Mosque, that'll be all Muslims in the world being pissed off and probably going to war. So they're orchestrating a war so they can orchestrate the peace, sacrificing a red heifer to bring about a false Messiah to create a one-world government with religious legitimacy. And it's all fake and wrong and bad and stupid and wrong and bad.